Now, you can't have missed the big technology news of the week. I got an iPad. Well, that's not the news, obviously. Another shiny new product off their production line from the world's biggest company, Apple. This time it was their new version of the iPhone, making mine obsolescent. These product launches are now news all around the world, but what's the atmosphere like in the room when the curtain is pulled back? Well, the BBC's technology correspondent, Rory Kecklin-Jones, has been to more than most. Here are his thoughts from his reporter's notebook.
Sometimes my family and my colleagues mock me. Playing around with gadgets isn't really a job for a grown man, they say. What they fail to realise is that being a technology correspondent is a serious job, looking into the future shape of all of our lives. And they don't realise how hard it is. They don't have to go to mobile phone launches. I've been to 3 in 10 days, and I now feel like a lie down. Perhaps I'm getting old. Maybe it's a growing allergy to the overblown rhetoric I hear coming from the stage about what are essentially gadgets. But I think I'm growing tired of events which used to inspire huge excitement in my inner geek. Part of the trouble is that my first really big launch was the best. 5 years ago, I persuaded my bosses to send me to San Francisco to see what Apple's Steve Jobs was unveiling at Macworld. As the show began, and yes, these events are shows, I was at first appalled to hear applause ringing out when the figure in jeans and black turtleneck promised, "We're going to make history here." Where I come from, journalists don't applaud. But then Apple's chief executive produced something which did look different from anything we'd seen before, and the excitement and adulation seemed a little more understandable. The iPhone did indeed make history, at least in the telecommunications industry. The established players, Nokia, Microsoft, BlackBerry, responded by patronising the new kid on the block as a nice but niche product which wouldn't make any real impact. 5 years on, all three are struggling in a market where touchscreen devices like the iPhone are now ubiquitous. But the smarter players responded first by imitating, then surpassing Apple's phone. The other thing rivals learned to copy was those phone launches, with executives striding across stages telling us just how excited they were about their new devices, though none had quite the charisma of a Steve Jobs. Back in May, Samsung staged what must have been the biggest premiere so far, filling the cavernous halls of London's Earl's Court with journalists from all over the world. A bar that seemed to stretch forever offered all manner of exotic cocktails. I stuck to water, of course, before we filed in to see the unveiling of the Galaxy S3. This was a slick launch for a very slick smartphone, and the Galaxy was soon outselling the iPhone. So much was at stake when Apple announced an event for September the 12th. As ever, it was ruthlessly secretive. Apparently a T-shirt on sale at the company's Californian headquarters bears the slogan, "I work for Apple in Cupertino, and that's all I can tell you." But we all knew it was going to be the iPhone 5. Apple invited European journalists to London to watch the presentation beamed from San Francisco. But it felt quieter than usual. The new phone was duly unveiled by a series of Apple executives whose awesomes and amazings didn't have quite the conviction of the company's founder. As for the phone, well, yes, it is slimmer and lighter despite being bigger. But at first glance, it looks pretty similar to its predecessor. The event dragged on, and by the time music from the Foo Fighters brought things to a close, reporters were heading for the exits to get shots of the new phone in time for their deadline. I joined the scrum and eventually got my hands on it for what we call a show and tell, a quick video looking at some of the features. I ended by picking up another phone, the Samsung Galaxy S3, and pointing out that it was stiff competition for the iPhone. After my second take, an Apple PR person approached. "Do you think you could put the Samsung away?" he asked. "This is an Apple event." As politely as possible, I explained to him that my job was to give an impartial assessment of the mobile phone market. He retreated. I've no doubt that the iPhone 5 will be a huge hit. Orders are already stacking up, and analysts are predicting that Apple's profits will be even more humongous this Christmas than last. But somehow, the magic has gone. When it comes to mobile phones, neither Apple nor its rivals has done anything to make me go wow for some years. Still, there's another launch next week. Maybe Motorola will have something to put the mojo back into mobile.